Hello, friends. This is Grace Hot Pants Langhein with your 17th episode of the Mullet Chronicles. This is the podcast where I read race reports to you. If you don't have time to read them, that's okay. You get to hear them from me. It's a spinoff of the Running Mullet podcast where Eric Kosek and I talk all things running from the business in the front to the party in the back. So, as always, a quick introduction before we get to the race report. Today's episode comes to us from Marisa Kovac, the runner with the biggest smile in Pennsylvania. It's her story of her run at the Devil Dog Ultras in December of 2025. But you might remember that we read her Devil Dog 100 report from 2023 back in episode 8. So go listen to that quick and come back, as well as episode 3, An Ode to Running by Marisa as well. So the Devil Dog 100, or the Devil Dog Ultras, because there's several distances, the longest being a 100 miler. It is named out of respect for our Marines, also known as Devil Dogs, and it's very close to Quantico. Also, Marisa is a Marine vet. Thank you for your service, Marisa. Stay for the whole story. I do have a quick wrap-up at the end that you'll also want to hear. That's your introduction. Now let's get to Marisa's story. Devil Dog. The name itself draws me in. Devil Dog Ultras. As a United States Marine Corps veteran, this appeals to me in almost every way. I was branded a Devil Dog the minute I stood on the parade deck on Parris Island alongside 40 other recruits of Platoon 4004, and my senior drill instructor placed the Eagle Globe and Anchor in my hand. We had just completed the Crucible, the last big challenge and final gut check that all Marines face before graduation. After 54 hours of nonstop field training, full gear hikes, and relentless team problem-solving scenarios, we were finally there. Drenched, exhausted, and with cheeks smeared with tears, we accepted the honor of becoming United States Marines. And we did so with incredible pride. Joining the Marine Corps in 2006 was one of the greatest things I have ever done for myself. It lit a spark of motivation that has fueled me for years. It unveiled confidence, exposed a beast, built a leader, and gave me a second family when mine was half a world away. It gave me direction, helped me build a foundation, and developed an unbreakable discipline deep within my gut, one that I have watched grow stronger with every passing year. So to be labeled a Devil Dog is an incredible honor. And the minute I learned about this astonishing group of people who host this event, I knew I had to meet them. My first trip around this loop of bridges was in 2023. I didn't know what I was in for. I mainly train, race, and meander around the trail systems of North Central Pennsylvania. Our trails carry a heavy reputation and are commonly, or lovingly, referred to as Rocksylvania, and the name fits. Trust me. It's not uncommon to do a 15-mile training run and end up with over 5,000 feet of gain. Our terrain is relentless and unforgiving, but it is also breathtaking and unforgettable. With hollows that draw you into the darker places of this world and vistas so wide and expansive that they literally take your breath away, no run ever gets old. The same view still catches me off guard, even though I've done the climb to get there a million times. The chill of the wind at the top and the sparkle of sunlight off the river bring me to a place of immense gratitude. Every time I stop foot on a Pennsylvania trail, I leave humbled. The same is true of the Devil Dog course. 100% runnable, 100% of the way. That is the Devil Dog course, and it is by no means a strength of mine. This course humbles me in a profound way. I'm used to steep climbs, sometimes with an incline so palpable I find myself moving hand over foot. I'm used to no switchbacks, arduous downhills, and bridges, what the hell are those? The smooth flow of the land in Prince William Forest Park is welcomed but unnatural. I heard many runners this year making comments about how difficult the last 6 miles of the loop are. This is the section where you finally meet some roots and boulders. And true to character, this is the section I happen to move the best on for all five loops. It is, by and large, my favorite section of the loop. It is home to me. They don't call this course sneaky hard for no reason. The nickname is true to form. And that is exactly why I wanted to come back this year. The incredible challenge of persistent running was tugging at my soul, and I had to answer that call. I wanted to see how much I've grown, what I was capable of. I wanted to differentiate between the athlete I was in 2023 and the athlete I have become just a short 2 years later. But most of all, I wanted a sub-24-hour finish. There's a quote I love. When snow falls, nature listens. Prince William Forest Park received a light snowfall the day before the race, just enough to blanket the trees in glistening beauty and remind me how much of a gift this sport is. Nature was still that morning, hushed in silence. She was magical in her simplicity, yet captivating in her elegance. I felt a deep peace in those opening hours. A wave of calm settled in as the sun rose over the horizon, painting the sky with remarkable colors. In that moment, I was reminded to be grateful for doing what I love with people I respect. The snow had fallen, and I was listening. I'm not a data-centric runner. I run by feel. My strongest weapon is my mind, and I use it relentlessly. I understood the pace I needed to maintain for a sub-24-hour finish, but my watch went mostly unnoticed. It eventually died around the 100K mark. There were other runners out there, but in truth, they didn't exist to me. I was there for one reason only, my personal goal of a sub-24-hour 100-miler. Whatever place that earned me didn't matter. I just need to check that box for my own peace of mind. I stayed consistent, focused, and steady through the first two loops. It takes my legs about 30 miles to truly loosen up, so I ran smart and with confidence, knowing eventually my hamstrings would either warm up or lose feeling, whichever came first. Even without a crew or pacers, the trail running community never makes it feel that way. I usually roll into aid stations smiling, trying to brighten what could otherwise be a tough moment, but the volunteers of Devil Dog had that completely covered. No matter the time of day, no matter the temperature, I was met with immense support at every single aid station. Volunteers who didn't know me had my bottles filled before I even had time to ask, and somehow there was always a cup of Coke waiting in front of me. They braved the cold in a way I'm not sure I could have. Volunteers are the beating heart of any race, and that truth was on full display at Devil Dog. At mile 55, I did a quick change of shirt and jacket, knowing full well the temperature was about to take a sudden drop. I grabbed dry mittens and shoved packets of hot hands into any pocket that had room. I loaded up on batteries, sugar, and grabbed a new waistlight. I downed a Dixie cup of Coke, took a couple of quesadillas for the road, and I headed right back out with a huge smile. This is where the magic was going to happen in these night hours. They're lonely, and they are long, and they are challenging. But I was plowing full steam ahead. By mile 82, the start of the last loop, I had already lost my voice from screaming out loud to myself over and over again, "You can do this! You can do this!" My confidence had started to wane when I finally allowed myself to look at my watch and do some quick pace math. There was a realization that I may not make it. I didn't let that sit long, though. I went deep into the corners of my mind, reminding myself I have the mental capacity to rise above this pain. I have the will to see my goal through to fruition. And most of all, I am worthy of completing something incredible. The voices of friends barreled through my mind in those last miles. Voices of support in every way. Their incredible accomplishments feeding my own. If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. With no one around me and the sun just on the horizon, I turned on the burners and finished those last 6 miles, those miles that feel like home, faster than I had in all of the previous loops. As I approached the chute, I could hear Justin, one of the race directors, calling out, trying to see who was behind the headlamp that was barreling his way. I crossed the finish line asking, "Did I do it? Did I do it?" And with a resounding yes, a weight was lifted off my shoulders. This has been a goal of mine for some time now. 24 hours, 100 miles, one day. I used to have unfinished business with this distance. I don't anymore. And what an incredible honor it was to see this goal come to fruition at a race that holds so much meaning in my life. To the team of race directors, Justin, Pat, and Wes, the incredible volunteers, the medical staff, logistics crews, shuttle drivers, and all of the athletes who towed the line this weekend, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Every mile is a gift. Even the blistering cold ones. Stay hungry, devil dogs. Whew, that was an awesome race report. Started to get a little teary-eyed myself in it. Thank you, Marisa, for sharing some information she didn't include because she's humble, but I know you want to know. Her finish time was 23:57:21. Man, that's an awesome finish. And she was first place female. Congratulations, Marisa. And to all of you listening, you can submit your race reports to me on Facebook, Instagram, on the Running Mullet, or on therunningmullet@gmail.com. And you can listen to Eric Kosek and I every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern talking all things running at the Running Mullet. Thanks for listening. You're awesome.